McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning again, and welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104. Another Sunday morning with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself. I'm Frankenberry, and we got a little bit of a different one today as I've got the ladies on the phone because we know with everything that's going on, a lot of folks are on lockdown, our building being one of them.
Well, I know I'm in my yoga pants. I'm not sure what Jonna's wearing for a phone call.
You know, that's so funny that you, well, first of all, everybody, good morning, and to everybody who is also listening. This is going to be a little bit of a different show. And Carol, I'm so glad you brought that up, because one of the things I wanted to talk about today is, for so many people that are working from home during the next 15 or so days, there have actually been scientific studies that say, get yourself dressed. Like, and I am one of those people. I am one of those people where I can't, even if I'm working from home, if I'm in my pajamas and I'm not wearing a bra and my hair is all, I can't do it. I got to clean myself up. I got to look the part, and then I'm much more productive.
Oh well, I gotta go.
Yeah, I'm actually the complete opposite. Yeah, I'm going to go with Carol. I'm going to go with Carol on this one.
Really?
Oh,
maybe because I work from home prior to being kind of forced to, not kind of being forced to. So I don't know. I'm used to it. I'm a yoga pants and graphic tee girl. And
yeah, I took Monday off earlier this week, and I tell you, I wore the same clothes for 4 days. I was perfectly happy
Frank
with that.
Don't tell her that. Such a man.
Yeah. Well, it's also another reason why I'm single, but I don't care. So. You know, and the cats don't seem to mind.
You know, it's so funny that you also bring that up, because way back in the day, in another lifetime, when I was married, I used to have to, like, force my ex-husband to take a shower. And he just thought it was perfectly normal to be, and he worked from home, too. He worked from home, and it was perfectly normal to just be at your computer wearing some big fluffy robe, having not showered for 4 days, and not wearing any underwears. And that could explain why we are no longer married, but I'm just saying.
It just might, yes, but I'll have you know I did wear underwear. I mean, the same pair of underwear for 4 days, but I was wearing underwear.
So. Oh, my gosh. All right, I'll go take a shower when we're done. God.
No, actually, Carol, I have a question for you, because this is a really good point. You are a work-from-home person. You have worked from home for quite a while. You should have some tips for people like me who are not you. Like, and it's so funny, because I wake up every day and go, oh, I wish I could work from home. And now that I'm kind of forced to work from home, I'm like, I hate this. I hate it. But do you have any good advice for people who are not used to, like, do you start at a certain time? Do you end at a certain time? Like, is there a routine to it?
There's not. I get Craig off to work, and then I will go into my home office and just see what's on my agenda for the day and just start working and then take care of the dog. And you know, I've had many people say to me, oh, I just have such a hard time focusing if I work from home. That is not a problem for me. I'm more of the anxiety of what's next, what else can I get done? So, you know, maybe it's just personality and driven to get things done. But I would suggest for people who are not used to it, and this is something I talk to people about, as you know, in addition to being an author, I'm also a publisher for Little Pink Press. And I have conversations with people who want to write a book. And one of the things I suggest them, and anybody listening right now who is not accustomed to working from home, and if you find it difficult for yourself to get focused and you really need to get things done, is set. I'm lucky and I have an office, right? I step into my office and I know it's time to work. I need to focus, what's on my list, be productive, get things done. That's my trigger. Not everybody may have the luxury of having a home office, so my suggestion is to create some sort of ritual that communicates to yourself it's now's the time to work. Mm-hmm. And it could be a pleasant ritual, for example. Like, maybe you have a chair in the corner that gets good sunlight, and that's your favorite place to sit. Light your favorite candle. Get a cup of coffee. Day starts. So whatever works for you that triggers you to say, now it's time to get focused.
I like that tip because you're touching on a lot of things. First of all, I've seen your home office, and it's a lovely office. So it's a nice, you have a nice space to dedicate to work. In my house, it's just kind of a free for all, and I just not used to it.
You have a desk,
but no, I do, and I have a beautiful view, and I gotta say, like, it's a little bit distracting because it really is conducive to just letting my imagination run wild and not being focused on the issue at hand. Plus, I'm going to say, I think we are all in this together, but we all might be in the same spot where we're here not because we want to be, but because we have to be, and there's so much swirling around right now that it's easy to get distracted because, I mean, we're scared. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say
it's
that.
It's unsettling. For sure.
Very, very unsettling. And this is something we couldn't prepare for. It was like, boom, 1 minute life sort of seemed normal, and the next minute, it's anything but. And we've got a lot of concerns. So it's really not a great time to try to transition into working from home, you know, because it's wasn't something that we planned. But I love your tips. And since we have a couple weeks to get used to this idea, I'm going to try that. I'm gonna get focused.
And that I think that is a good tip. I mean, I've got a routine. I mean, you guys know that I'm generally like fairly antisocial, and I have no problems with that. But you mm-hmm. know, my routine though, I know that if I have an opportunity to work on a Saturday, and I know I want to do some writing or I want to fix up maybe some audio that I brought home with me, I run to Stop and Shop. It's kind of like my commute. I go to Stop and Shop. I get my weekly stuff. I get my cat food. I get my litter, my small Steve food, and then I'm home and I'm done. That's the routine that I enjoy the heck out of on a Saturday. Just knowing that I'm now finished for the weekend and I can just do what I want.
And I think it's important, probably more now than ever. And you know, I'm a big advocate of looking for what makes you happy and treating yourself well. And we are in unprecedented, challenging times right now, so I think it's more important than ever to give ourselves little mini mental breaks wherever we can. And I think one of the ways to do that is like little triggers, like lighting your candle, like find your little bits of normal, right? What are the little normal things? Do you have a show that you watch every week a certain time? Watch your show. Like wherever you can maintain little bits of your normal in there, I think that's very healthy. And I will also say from a bigger perspective, when you're having trouble shutting your brain off from the worry and the what ifs, and there's a lot of that right now, number one, reduce your time on Facebook. My anxiety level goes up in direct correlation with the amount of time I spend on Facebook. I do want to stay informed, but I'm self-aware that, okay, I need to get off. So here's something I can suggest. I'm a creative person to begin with. Frankenberry, you are. Jonna, you are. I think we all have that capacity. Rather than letting things feed into you, whether it's the news, and yes, stay informed. You have to right now, but don't let that completely dominate everything where you are just a receiver, and look for where you can to create. Have you always wanted to write? Was there something that you wanted to draw? Is there something that you wanted to bring out of you? Now might be a time to tap into that. And with no expectations, no agenda, whatever it is for you, whether it's musically, whether it's writing, whether it's drawing, painting, graphic art, whatever it is, bring something out of you. It will calm and counteract some of what's coming into you.
So consider this a big universal kick in the pants to do the things that maybe you've always wanted to do, but you never seem to have the time to do because you are busy working and you're putting the kids on the bus and you're doing all the things that right now you cannot actually do. I think that's a nice plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a smart plan.
Yes, I think trying to do something creative is important.
I really didn't expect us to get into a Carol Pesci dissertation. We really did not have an agenda. But from a bigger perspective, no matter what is going on in your life, our lives, keep in mind there is always what's happening. Separate and distinct is who you choose to be in relationship to that. Focus on that. Who do you want to be in relationship to what is happening? And work on that piece because that is the piece that is in your control. And just introducing a little bit of control in your life will calm you.
Yeah,
okay,
no, that is absolutely critical. Well, no, and you don't have to be done, but that is because a lot of people right now, and understandably so, could be freaking out. And freaking out will not help any situation. And in fact, somebody on the news was talking about this today, and it's funny because I had thought about this a few days ago. Like, if you keep a good mental perspective, you can actually keep yourself physically healthier. And then we don't know what the heck this virus is about. I think, you know, keeping that perspective is really more critical than ever. So you can't get down in a doom and gloom situation because it's not going to be physically healthy for any of us. And that's
I agree with you, and I would add to that to say it is normal to do that. It's normal to be afraid.
Oh, yeah.
It's normal to be worried. It's normal to be stressed and have anxiety. So there's nothing wrong with you for experiencing that. Just be self-aware. Have that awareness. Okay, there I go again. Where else can I redirect? What else can I do?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've definitely got some anxieties. You know, I spent some time in the hospital 3 years ago, and, you know, one of the first places this thing goes is to your chest. And I've got my, you know, I've got respiratory issues. So, yeah, I've got anxiety. So I have no problems continuing my antisocial lifestyle and staying home.
You don't see people. You're in good shape.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, the problem is I can't work from home because I don't have a studio. You know, I mean, I can build some stuff from home, but I have to, you know, I basically have to send all the pieces to myself. I would have to have somebody here to do the voice work because I don't have a studio and a microphone. But, you know, we're going to work around it if we can, if I do have to be stuck at home. But I'm doing half days for the moment. So at least I'm still somewhat essential. But at the same time, yeah, I've got some anxieties about leaving the house if I don't have to, you know.
Welcome to normal. Welcome to our new normal, you know, at least for now.
Our temporary normal. And one of the other things I wanted to, you know, hopefully reassure people of is because, so as a business owner, right, these even 2 weeks of financial disruption means I've got 12 people on my payroll, and you know, it concerns me, and that, you know, that could be disrupted even in part, if not completely, depending on how long this goes on. And I have to say that this is a shameless self-promotion of my team, not of me. We had a meeting yesterday to discuss our plan of action for the next at least 2 weeks. And I have to tell you, and I'm probably going to well up right now. They were amazing. They were, I love my team. I always have. The teamwork that they exhibited in this meeting, everybody willing to help each other, everybody willing to help every single client, everybody willing to go the extra mile and go the distance. And, you know, like in the Grinch when his heart, like, pumps out of his chest and gets real big, right? That was me. And so that's, and again, looking for all of the silver linings in this, that was definitely one of them. So to my team, thank you.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, yeah, that definitely has to be heartwarming. Because I've been in situations where people didn't step up. You know, when you got you know, when you got stuck with something that you weren't prepared for, like, you know, being put on furlough or something like that, and not everybody does their part. So, yes, good for your team.
Yeah,
so, Jonna, what are you doing in your world to introduce little bits of normalcy or maintain bits of normalcy?
So, a couple of things, and I don't know if this is maintaining my normalcy, although my normal is weird.
Oh, your sanity.
But my sanity. So I feel really compelled to, so you say stay off social media, and I get that, but I'm feeling compelled to be like a hub where people can go get a quick chuckle and get some helpful information, not any doom and gloom. I'm not, no doctors, just about like what's going on, and then move on, just so that, you know, if you can't see people in real life who you're used to seeing, and like, I, when's the next time I'm going to be on TV? Although I can say that I am going to be on TV tomorrow, but via Skype, which is a whole new way to do it. Right. If you can't be there, like, all over radio, in studio with you guys, and other studios that I frequent all the time, to me, that makes me feel normal, like I'm still connected to the outside world and the public. That makes me feel better. And that's what I've been doing. Well, both, you know, I might get lazy and tired. Maybe I'll turn into Frankenberry. I won't shower for 4 days. I won't be able to get on Facebook. Who knows?
It can get kind of stinky.
Or can it get addicting?
It can be addictive, yes. But hey, I'm with you. I still like to feel connected. That's, you know, one of the things I did. I did write some Facebook posts this weekend, you know, basically mentioning some of my concerns. But then what I did was I took them all, including all the pictures that I threw up there, because, you know, I mean, like Carol, I've got my pets, and they're my sanity, my you know, my three guys, and then the gang downstairs. So I put them all into one post, and I think it came out really nice. But that was my creative thing, and time flew for me over the weekend. I paid no attention to anything that was going on. I did not check the news at least for a day and a half, and that was nice, just kind of a disconnect. But still, like you said, Jonna, stay connected enough to feel like I'm part of the world.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Because
well,
it really is
they are social media. I'm just saying I too much on there. I'm aware that it was affecting my sanity, and it was more like reading through my feed. You're going on there primarily to put something out there.
Right, and right. And I can understand where you're coming from, because believe me, I mean, all you have to do is open up your Facebook page and the first thing you see are people linking articles, are people that are angry, are people that are upset and worried. And yeah, that can be a little much. That can be a little overwhelming. So and like you said, Carol, yeah, I was basically more doing some creating and then posting without necessarily looking at my feed too much.
Right. And John is doing the same thing, which is great.
Yeah, and you guys just reminded me of a quote, and I may have seen this on Facebook, so it's certainly not mine. I don't know who to attribute it to, but the quote is, stay away from negative people. They have a problem for every solution. And sometimes when you're on Facebook and people are angry and they have their, and I appreciate other people's opinions, but when they're angry and they're negative and you get bombarded with that over and over again, and again, could be natural, you have to distance yourself from that so it doesn't stick to you.
Oh,
yeah, now might
without
be a good
a
time to start filtering more deliberately.
Yeah. I told you guys a few weeks ago, I had a post of mine just go down the rabbit hole really badly, and it ruined what for me was a good weekend, because it just spiraled, and it was just a little bit too much, and there was, you know, like you said, way too much negativity in there eventually, and so I kind of stayed away from that this weekend, other than doing what I did. So
delete. Block.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You got that right.
Also, you know, I think another good thing for people to practice right now is if you do have people in your life who help you manage your day-to-day, you should check in with them. Because, you know, if you feel disconnected right now from, example, your housekeeper, your lawyer, your CPA, your the people that you interact with, but maybe not every single day, but regularly, you should just check in and say, hey, we're here, whatever, you know, like my housekeeper contacted me the other day, and she said, I'll be there at noon, and then she said, you know what, I thought better of it, and we're not going to come, we're going to take a couple weeks off, and I said, I absolutely understand, no problem, and I plan to pay her. I plan to pay her for the day that she had to miss, because I know that she has a finite number of clients, and it's not going to be any skin off my butt, and I want to do my part. So I encourage people to the extent that you can. I mean, we're all going to be worried a little bit financially about where we're getting our own bread and butter. I get that. But to the point that you can, can we just say something about all the toilet paper hoarders out there? Can we please... I don't either.
Yeah, I went into my usual Stop and Shop on Saturday, and that particular section was just practically just bereft of anything. I mean, there was no toilet paper, there were no paper towels, and I don't quite understand the toilet paper thing either. Andy Bale from WHUD asked me that question the other day. He's like, Frankie, what's with the toilet paper?
I mean,
I realize people have families, so if you've got, you know, three or four kids and a husband or a wife, yeah, that's five. That's five folks. That can be a lot of toilet paper if you're stuck in the house for 2 weeks. So my perspective is a little different. But I did notice that I did come home. Now, I bought some canned goods, okay? I didn't need to buy any canned goods, but I bought canned goods just because I felt compelled to by being in the store and seeing how crazy people were. And one of them I came home with, I looked in the bag and I went, when the hell did I grab Manwich? Manwich, I don't even remember, because there was nothing left on the shelf. I was just grabbing anything that was there. I'm like, I'll grab this soup. I'll grab this one here. This one's still left. I'll get that. And then I got home, and I'm like, really? Manwich? I haven't eaten that since I was 10.
Turn that into a post, Frankie Berry. You can do it.
Yeah.
Yes, I probably,
you know,
I probably could.
Look, if you're running out of stuff in the house, that Manwich is going to look pretty good. And it's making me think of, like, when I'm doing errands in my car, and I haven't eaten enough, and I'm, like, starving. Tell me you got, Johnny, you've been there, where you start digging in the bottom of your purse for that candy wrap, like, wrapped.
Oh, yeah.
Anything.
Oh, yeah. My latest thing is...
You have more than beer and mustard in your refrigerator. Did you do some shopping?
And you know what? And because you brought it up, I want people to feel sorry for me. Nobody on this planet eats out in restaurants more than me. Not salespeople who travel from place to place and are forced to eat out. Like, I do it because, number one, I like it. Number two, I can't cook. So if I'm not at my parents' house, which incidentally, I'm trying to stay just a little bit away. I mean, I feel fine, they feel fine, but they are over 70, and you know, everybody's saying be careful. So right. I am, I'm wasting away. I'm just wasting away. I have nothing but wine. I was so mad at myself because a couple weeks ago before the frenzy really started, I came home after having a couple of cocktails, and I mowed through all of my Weight Watcher snacks, like all of them in one night, like blah, 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 blah. And now, now I'm kicking myself. But what are you going to do?
Hey, you know what? I drive by your house.
Your favorite places, right?
What's that?
I'm sorry, Carol. I stepped on you there.
That's okay. Well, this is what we're dealing with, being by phone. You can still get takeout from many places. Curbside delivery, right?
Well,
are people still delivering these days?
Around these parts? Yeah, I don't know. In the city, I think it'll be big business because my heart is breaking for the restaurant and bar industry in the city because that's big business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And boom, they're shuttered except for the delivery. So I'm actually, I would like to help pump up their small economy while this is going on, not just out of my own necessity because I feel badly for them.
Well,
yeah,
let me tell you the ones I know of for sure, and there's many more. You can look it up. I know Yankee Clipper and Beacon. I happen to live in Beacon. Dutchess Beer Cafe and Fishkill, I know, will curbside. You can call in, pay by credit card. They'll bring it out to your car. And Cosmos, Brick Oven, all their locations, same thing.
Oh, really?
Yep, you can order, pay by phone, and they'll bring it out to your car.
Yeah, and Jonna, I practically drive by your house every day, so I can drop off a can of Manwich if you'd like. I'm sure you've got pots and pans, right? You can at least heat something up.
You know what? Only if you also have a can of Spam to accompany that. You know, that would be my idea of a party.
Yeah, you just have to fry it, though. That's all.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a problem. That's a real problem.
Okay. This is Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilgore and Carol Pesci as we talk about what's current, but we're also on the telephone, which means we don't have a guest this week because we weren't able to line somebody up last minute on the phone. So we are going to go to an old guest, and we're going to revisit one of the old shows here on the next segment, and then we'll be back with some more thoughts in segment number three. So, ladies, we'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
It is Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilgore and Carol Pesci, and we have returned, and it's time now to get to our guest in our second segment this morning, and we're going to be talking dreams.
Yeah, this girl is so cool. I find this so fascinating. On the line with us, we have Lori Loewenberg. She is a certified dream analyst. She's a syndicated columnist, author, popular radio show personality, and a speaker. After spending much of her childhood keeping a dream journal and then following a dream where her deceased grandfather visited her and gave her a life-changing message, she decided to dedicate herself to finding the answer we all seek within our dreams. Lori studied dream psychology and has analyzed and researched over 75,000 dreams from people of all walks of life from all over this planet. You may have seen her on The View, Good Morning America, CNN, The Katie Couric Show, The Steve Harvey Show, Fox Business, and she's also a recurring guest on The Today Show and Dr. Oz. Lori is the author of multiple books, including, and I have this one, Dream On It. That's the title. And the subhead is Unlock Your Dreams, Change Your Life, which, P.S., it's fascinating, and I suggest you get it on Kindle, which is what I have, because I'll go be like, oh my God, dreamt about a cow last night. And I'll like search cows, and that comes right
62.
Up. Okay. Yeah, right. Get right to it. So, Lori, welcome to Happy Hour.
Well, thanks so much for having me on.
So, I read it, and as we had you on years ago, if you could refresh my memory, and for the benefit of our listeners, the overall concept of how dreams operate, they're not literal, right? Or are they literal? They're metaphorical? How do they work?
Yeah, if you look at your dream literally, you will not get the message, and you're probably just going to freak yourself out. It's really important to remember that dreams speak a different language because the brain is working differently when we are in REM sleep, which is when we dream. They, in a nutshell, dreams speak in a symbolic language, and they are pretty much metaphors for what's going on in your life right now. Your dreams will always be about right now. In fact, they're going to be a brutally honest commentary on what happened the day before.
Day before?
Typically?
Yes, because they're, you know, we all have that stream of consciousness going through our head 24/7, that inner dialogue, that chitter chatter, you know, as we're driving to work or as we're drifting off to sleep. It's always there. When we go to sleep and we enter REM, which is when we dream, that thought stream is still happening, but now instead of thinking in words, you're thinking in metaphors. So whatever today, whatever bothered you, whatever you accomplished, whatever frustrated you, whatever affected you today, your dreams are going to comment on it tonight.
So that is really fascinating, because I'm probably getting ahead of us in this conversation, but there's been something that's been on my mind a lot lately, and you're the perfect person to answer this question. That said, can you almost not force yourself to dream about something, but let's say, like, sometimes I'll go to sleep and there is something on my mind and I'll want to sort of relax and meditate and fall asleep on it so that I can dream about it, because I pay attention to my dreams every single night. Am I eluding myself, or can you actually do that?
So can you influence your
dreams?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's nice. One of the purposes of dreaming is to figure it all out, which is why the name of my book is called Dream On It, because, you know, we all use that term when we're faced with a dilemma. Well, let me sleep on it. We're really dreaming on it, because that's when we come up with it, with our ideas. That's how we figure it out. And to actually, what you're talking about, to pinpoint a particular issue and hope to dream about it, yes, you can. And the best way to do that, well, first of all, your dream's probably going to work on it anyway. But to really get that message and get your subconscious to focus on it, you want to, of course, think about it as you're drifting off, but also write down in your little journal you're going to keep by your bedside what the issue is, what bothers you about it, what you hope to accomplish from it. That's because writing it down, the physical act of writing it down, is kind of like pressing enter on your computer, and it sends that request into the subconscious.
So your dreams can actually hold wisdom and give you direction.
Yes, because they are, they'll shine a light, a brutally honest light, on what's going on in your life. You know, they're a mirror for showing us truly how we feel about something, showing us our true behavior, showing us what we need to correct, showing us what we need to avoid, and pointing us in the right direction.
Let's, if we can, you know, we're talking big theory here about how they're symbolic and not literal. So I haven't had this dream in many years, but I remember asking you about it last time. It was a recurring dream for me that I was going back to school long after I was in school and could either not find my locker or my class schedule of where I was supposed to show up for class. And I know I've spoken to other people who had that same dream. What's going on there? And how does that, what does that symbolize in your real life?
So this is one of, I would say, in the top five most common dreams we all get, that back at school dream, and it's so frustrating. There's lots of little variations to it. but the reason why it's so common and recurs so often is because the back at school dream most of the time will be connected to something going on in your job or your career. So whatever stress you're feeling in the dream, whatever emotion you're feeling in the dream, is going to be connected to that same stress you're dealing with in real life, in your career. Now, yours was, what was the stress in your dream? Your back
I couldn't
dream?
Find my locker, and I can't find the classroom, or I'm not sure my class schedule.
Okay, yeah, so that's a common element to the back at school dream. So when you can't find your locker, you can't find your class, that's usually connected to not feeling that you are where you should be in your career or your job. You're not being recognized for where you are, or you aren't happy where you are. You haven't reached the goal you want for yourself yet, or maybe you're not even in the right career at all.
Does it have anything to do with learning something new?
Absolutely. You want to look at every little detail in the dream. If you're though not able to get to the class, then you're not learning.
Okay.
So that would indicate that in real life, you're not gaining and getting what you need from your current position.
Okay. Well, the good news is I haven't had this in a while, but I used to get it a lot.
Ah, so maybe you're finally where you are meant to be.
I can feel that, yeah. So how cool is that?
Did your dream include... Wait, so your dream was always that you were missing... like you were late for class?
It was any combination or all of where is my locker? I'm supposed to be in class, but I don't know what time or where I'm supposed to go. I can't find my schedule. I'm not clear.
Oh. Because, Lori, I used to have one, and I haven't had this in a long time, but it's one of those dreams that I actually remember having a million years ago, but it was so vivid that I never forgot.
Wow.
That I had a dream that I actually did not graduate from college, and I had to, like, undergrad, even though I was a practicing lawyer, and I had to go back and, like, complete one more class, and I was like, oh my god, this is horrible. And in my dream I actually, like, did it. I'm like, well, I better get this done. And then I woke up, and it was one of those dreams where you wake up and I'm like, oh my god, this is terrible. And then I was like, phew, it was a dream.
Right. I get that one. I actually had a very similar one just a couple nights ago, but I had to take my whole junior and senior year all over.
And it's a horrible dream.
With this school. I've done this already. I don't need to do this again.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So that dream, there's a couple reasons you may have got it. One is you weren't feeling like you were getting the credit you deserve where you were at the time. Mm. Or maybe there was something going on in your career where you did need a little bit more education.
So that would almost be literal. Like, okay, you need some more information here. Or you, like, maybe I didn't feel qualified or something for something.
Right, for a specific issue. Ah, interesting. All right, I have a specific dream question that someone asked me to ask you. So this person is in a leadership position at their job and dreamt that they were weeding the garden with the CFO.
Like the CFO was with them or the CFO was a rake?
He and the CFO were both weeding a garden together.
Oh.
Oh, well, that's very interesting. It's probably, you know, reflective of what's going on in their company. Useless things or useless people or things that just, you know.
It's a very pastoral dream to have about your boss.
I know. It's a chief financial officer, so it's the money guy, and then he's weeding a garden together with him.
Oh, well, see? It's pretty clear. But they were doing it together, so that must have reflected that they were working well together in accomplishing that task.
Oh, and maybe cleaning things up together.
Right. Yeah, maybe the actual garden is the cash that they're trying to manage, and they're getting out all
and
the
crap. And they're cleaning it up.
Yeah.
Because just like a garden, you want your finances to grow.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah, you got to get rid of the unnecessary expenses.
Okay, I like it. All right, so what are some of the other most common dreams, Lori, that people have?
Okay, so I'll go through a few of them and let me know if either of you get them.
Uh-oh.
Okay, the teeth falling out dream.
I've heard of that.
I've had that one.
One time.
Okay.
Or like crumbling. I think my teeth
are
crumbling.
I've had that one often, actually.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because that you're getting it, because people in the radio industry get this dream a lot, because the teeth dream will represent the way you communicate. And then if your teeth fall out, that's a good indication of loose speech, meaning you've said something you wish you could take back and put back in your mouth and keep it in there permanently like your teeth.
Wow.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Okay, so here's another one, and let me know if you get it. Okay, the cheating dream, where your partner is cheating on you.
All the time.
Do you really?
A couple times a week. Yep.
Seriously?
And that's recently, like within the last 4 or 5 months, I get that a couple times a
week. And what are you feeling? Anger? Like what?
That's hard to... I almost feel triumphant, like caught ya, kind of.
Oh, go ahead, Lori.
Yeah.
Okay, so other than the dream, you don't have any reason to suspect him, right?
No, other than the dream, yeah. In fact, the dream annoys me when I wake up. I'm like, why am I having this stupid dream?
Okay, so here's why. because it doesn't mean that, you know, there's another person. However, it does mean there is a third wheel. And it's not, you know, some gorgeous redhead. It's probably work or golf, an extracurricular activity, a project, the band cave, something he's giving a lot of his time and attention to that's causing you to feel left out or neglected in some way, to feel cheated out of that time you would like to have with him.
Yeah, that's actually really accurate.
Wow.
Because he started working like a ton on every weekend. And every weekend is when, you know, we go and we do our thing and
so you're cheated out of your weekends. That's not cool. You gotta make that up to you.
I know, right? Or he's gonna have a dream that I kick him to the curb, only it won't be a dream.
Okay, so here's another one. This one is especially common for women, the tornado dream.
Oh, I've had that, but not in a long time.
Wait, what is the tornado dream?
Well, I see a tornado coming.
No.
Not in a long time, but I have.
You're bracing for impact. Is it going to hit the house? Sometimes there's a lot of tornadoes, you know, and you're running into the basement.
Usually off in the distance, but I see it. I'm like, wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so did you get that a lot?
No, occasionally, and it was memorable.
Okay, so the tornado dream or any kind of weather dream will usually be connected to your emotions, because weather is the emotions of the mind. Tornadoes will represent anxiety and worry. That's beginning to spin out of control.
Oh, wow.
So people who get tornado dreams a lot, they're typically your card-carrying member of the Worry Wart Club. So they're just always worried and anxious. But if you just get it here and there, then you got to ask yourself, okay, so what is it I'm bracing for right now? What am I worried about is going to impact my life? And, you know, like the dream is typically showing you a tornado is an act of God. There's nothing you can do about it. Take that message and just say, you know, I can't do anything. I'm just going to let go.
That's so funny. Now I'm going to have like a tornado dream tonight.
We're going to have wild dreams tonight. Yeah.
Except it's going to be a tornado of third wheels.
Right.
All right. What else, Lori? What is falling in dreams is common too, isn't it?
Falling super common. But there's, you know, you got to make sure you understand the difference between that falling dream that's not really a full-on dream and it's at the onset of sleep and jerk yourself awake.
Yeah.
So that's called the hypnic jerk. And what's happening with that is when we go to sleep and enter REM sleep, which is when we dream, our brain releases a chemical that paralyzes our skeletal muscle so we don't get up and act out the dream. That loss of muscle control feels like falling. That's why we call it falling asleep. So if you're not getting good sleep or your sleep is erratic, you'll feel that muscle control fall away and your brain will build a little scenario around it, like you trip or you fall off a mountain, and then you jerk yourself awake.
That is so cool.
Now, if you get the falling dream, like, deep into sleep in the midst of a dream, and there's a big storyline around it, then that is typically caused by feeling some sort of big letdown in your real life. Plans fell through. Something didn't work out. Someone let you down. Something you had a high hope for came crashing down around you. That dream can also be caused by depression. If you suffer from depression regularly, this can be a warning from your subconscious that you're about to fall into another bout of it, so it comes to you to prepare you for it.
Wow.
Oh. That's interesting.
What if you actually fall out of bed, Lori, asking for a friend? For real.
You shouldn't be doing that because you're supposed to be paralyzed.
Okay.
Are there any other things I need to know about?
Now, Lori, I mentioned it to the ladies here earlier, but when we talked to you quite a number of years ago, and I had mentioned to you one of my dreams, you asked me at the time if I had sought professional help.
And, this is the truth.
I just wanted to let you know that everything's fine. One thing I have noticed, and I use an app now where I wake up and I will speak into this app. It's a voice-to-text app, and by the way, reading them back is really screwed up. But, you know, I just kind of remind myself of where the dreams are. Recently, I've remembered some, but I have noticed that my dreams are all in the same universe, meaning that I can have one tonight where I will recognize possibly that place I was tonight, tomorrow night, in a completely different dream. They're all in the same world. And recently I had one where I was in what seemed to be a monstrous mall / bazaar. But inside this mall was this little tiny club with a really long, short, dark hallway. And I ran into an incredibly tall man with huge hands who was a jazz musician.
She's going to ask her and, if he's going to get
and
professional.
For some reason, yes, I know. And he walks me down into this club, and the club only has like three tables. Like I said, it's very, very tiny and a tiny bar. And there's an attractive woman in there who's going to be singing in the band, and we end up just leaving. But again, this place is in the exact same universe of a dream I had last night.
Wow. I don't think she has enough detail to be able to analyze that for you. You're incredibly detailed.
I know. I'm just... Yeah. So anyway, Lori, I mean, have you ever come across where the dreams tend to be in the same world? Like I could... Somebody else
There's
could say...
There's a running theme or a commonality.
Yeah, somebody else could say, oh, I know that bazaar you're talking about in a dream of mine from a week from now.
Yeah, it's a dream setting that only exists in the dream, but you'll sometimes go back to that same setting.
Right. It's not a real place for you.
I haven't been there. Most of the time it's very square.
It's got its own zip code.
Yes, and the buildings are not necessarily all that imaginative, except for this bazaar that I was in. A lot of them are very are very square.
Nobody says bazaar anymore, Frankenberry. Just saying.
Listen, lady.
What are you, from 1942?
All right, stop. I want to hear Lori.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Okay, so, but you've dreamt of this setting before, right?
Yes, I've been in this setting before.
Okay, so here's the thing about settings in dreams, and I have a whole chapter in my book, Dream On It, about how to figure out the settings in your dreams. Geographical places in our dreams actually represent where we are psychologically or where we are in a particular situation. And, you know, we use that terminology in waking up. I'm in a really good place right now, you know. And it can also represent a different area of your life, which I think is probably the case with this particular setting. It's in a bizarre. And maybe that's why you chose that word. Is there anything, any area of your life that you would describe as bizarre?
Like, do you work at a zoo a little bit, Frankenberry?
Do you have a friendship that's really bizarre? I mean, is there an area of your life that's like...
No, I wasn't. I was using the word bizarre as in...
A shopping place.
A shopping place. Yeah. There is some craziness in my life. My landlady owns a shelter, and she herself has like 8 dogs and a million cats downstairs in the house. But when it comes to actual bizarre things, no, not really. No.
Okay, so a shopping place. So
like a flea
this
market.
Might represent an area of your life where you have a lot of choices or opportunities.
No, I mean, that's certainly possible.
Okay, and so, but deep within this is like a little jazz club.
That's what he said.
Dreamland, that's totally okay.
Yes. So
are you a fan of jazz?
No, as a matter of fact, I am not. And I don't know why the sax player had to be incredibly tall as he was. In a very short hallway. I mean, like, we're talking like a
low ceiling
hallway where I would scrape my head.
Mm. Okay, so the hallway is going to represent some kind of transition you're currently going through, or something that's transitioning.
Okay,
so, but you're not a fan of jazz, so what are your thoughts on jazz? What do you associate with jazz?
I mean, I respect jazz. I mean, but it's not something that I'm going to go out and buy an album of, but at the same time, I can watch an old film and I have no issues with the music.
What do you associate with it, though?
I guess maybe old films, as I just said.
Okay, all right. In that case, the jazz club could represent an old part of you or maybe an old issue.
Oh, yeah.
It could, yeah.
Okay, now the guy that's really tall with really big hands. So large people in a dream will represent something that is a big deal in real life or a big part of yourself. He had really big hands. So is there anything going on right now, some sort of transition you're dealing with where you keep telling yourself, you know what, I can handle this?
Other than adding a new variable to my life on a Friday night where I have to do a bit of extra driving.
Which was bothering you.
Yes, which always concerns me. I'm not a huge fan of adding variables if I don't need to. But in this particular case, I need to. So, there is that.
Is it a situation where you are telling yourself, I can handle this?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a situation where, look, once I got to drive 4 hours round trip on a Friday night up to Albany to do some high school football because, well, one, I enjoy it, but two, I need the money. So, there is a situation where I say, I can do this. You know, this variable isn't going to cause me issue.
All right, and maybe that's why the jazz club was very small, because finances have gotten tight.
Yeah, well, that definitely is the reason for this new variable.
Yes. What about the low ceiling, Lori? What's that representing there?
Well, it's the tightness of it. It's, you know,
that's
a tight
confined.
Squeeze.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can see that, yeah.
And also maybe the jazz represents that the financial situation is really getting old.
Oh, my God.
Now, bingo.
Yeah, that does hit a nail right there.
Bingo. Wow. See? Problem
solved. So your subconscious is telling you got this.
Well, I will let my subconscious know that we're on the same page.
Lori, can I ask you a question, too? Because the last time when we spoke, I told you about I used to have dreams that I was getting shot at all the time, and then I would have to fight people off. They would have knives, and I would have to grab them with the palm of my hand. I don't have those dreams hardly anymore. But what does it mean when I do have dreams where I need to speak or scream, and because I'm sleeping, I can't. And
I've had that.
In my dream, I'll be like, I know the reason why I can't say if my voice isn't coming out is because I'm asleep, so I try really harder, and I will wake myself up screaming.
And I usually make noise. Craig will be like, are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah. What is
that? You can't get it out, so it's like this weird mumbling.
But mine,
a mumbled scream.
But mine, I'll eventually get it out, because in my dream, I'll be like, I am not stopping until this sound comes out of my mouth. And then I wake up.
Okay. So this is probably about speaking up about something in real life. And what you just said, I think, is you have just interpreted the dream. I'm not stopping till I get this out.
Ah. Okay, because I do have.
I'm not going to give up until I say what needs to be said.
That sounds like me. All right, good.
Yeah, I have a feeling you speak your mind. Twice.
You think? not an issue that I'm aware of.
Yeah, there's no concerns there, Lori. No concerns at all.
Lori, I've had a recurring dream. Again, I haven't had this in a while, but something that used to happen somewhat frequently, that I'm home, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I forgot I had this additional
room.
Oh,
yes.
Or it's like, oh, I have another apartment, or I'm back at my old apartment again. I forgot that I had this. What's that?
Yeah, I love those. I get those a lot.
Oh, they're so cool. Then I wake up, I'm like, darn, I don't have an extra room.
Yes. Wah, wah. So the hidden or undiscovered room dream is a really great dream to have, because first of all, the house or the apartment, the home in your dream symbolizes the self. That's your personality. When you discover a new room or even a whole new wing of this house, that's all about discovering new parts of yourself.
Oh, nice.
I had no, you know, for example, when my husband took me shooting for the first time a few months ago, I hit the target dead center every single time. Wow. I had no idea I was such a good shot,
Wow.
So it's along those lines. You're discovering something new that's been there the whole time, but you didn't know it.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Oh, man.
I think we're almost running out of time.
We're running out of time here. I find it so fascinating. So we're wrapping up here with Lori Loewenberg. She's a certified dream analyst. She is the author of multiple books, including Dream On It. Unlock Your Dreams, Change Your Life. She talks about all the most common dreams that you have. She helps you analyze your dreams. Certain, like what animals, cats represent something, lions represent something, dogs, like everything represents something in your life. And I think with Lori's help and a better understanding, your dreams can help guide you through your life better and understand things. They're not something to be afraid of. They're something to learn from and to understand that they're not literal. Don't, like if somebody's chasing you with a knife, doesn't mean somebody's going to come after you. It symbolizes something else. Mm-hmm. Lori, where can people find your book or find you and learn more about what you do?
And my book Dream On It is available everywhere. You can go ahead and get it on Amazon today, or if you want to have a one-on-one consultation with me, we could probably even talk today, just because Lori Loewenberg is really hard to spell, just Google Dream Expert and I'll be like the first or second one that comes up. That'll take you to my site and you can set up a time and we can chat on the phone.
Awesome
That was terrific,
Lori.
Thank you
so much for taking the time to talk with us.
My pleasure, and sweet dreams.
thank you very much, Lori. Much appreciated. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci, and we're not done yet for this morning, so just hang with us. Segment 3 is on the way. You're listening to K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. 3, 2, 1. And we are back here with Happy Hour. Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frank and Barry.
We need to do that again.
All right. Well, 3, 2, 1. And we're back here for segment number 3 with Happy Hour and Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, and myself. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry. Okay. Take 3.
Okay, take. I'm probably going to play all of these, right? I just let them play live on the air. All right, 3, 2, 1. The Keystone Kids back at it again. This is Happy Hour, segment number 3, and we have returned with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
All right, screw it. Just move forward. Cool. Move forward.
All right.
So anyway, we were talking in our first segment about how we're getting by with being housebound for many of us, with working from home, with basically trying to take the next couple of weeks of keeping our heads down. And I know that Carol had some good ideas about finding something creative to do with your time, maybe finally catching up on that creative thing you've been wanting to do. And Jonna, still stay connected if you can a little bit, so you know what's going on. And what else do we have?
For the record, I would just like to point out that even though we were replaying a guest, that you, Frank and Barry, have acknowledged that I have contributed a great idea to the show.
It wouldn't be a show without that.
That's right. We can actually hear your eyes rolling right now, Jonna.
They're still rolling.
No, you keep doing that. They're going to stay like that.
But unfortunately, I have to agree with Frank and Barry. Those were some excellent tips.
Thank you. Also, I
want to add that there's another thing that we can do, for the next couple of weeks or however long we have to hunker down, is not just read books, but listen to them. And here's what I'm going to say. I'm in the middle of Damon John's latest book called Power Shift. Carol, I don't know if you have it yet.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I'm only in the very beginning, but of course it's Damon John, so I love it. And I know we have talked about this many, many times in the past, but I am going to hunt him down like I'm a bill collector and he owes me, and I want to get this man as a guest on our show.
I know. He's a local.
And maybe now he will. Plus he's just so smart. And I know he's a busy guy. I get it. But 15 minutes by phone. If anybody out there listening knows Damon John, or maybe Damon John right now is in the car tooling up to Rhinebeck to, you know, stay away from people for a couple weeks.
I think it's Salt Point.
Where is it? Salt Point? Okay, Salt Point, Rhinebeck. Maybe he's going out to breakfast. I don't know. He's up early. He seems like he'd be up early, rise and grind. We want you. We have wanted you as a guest on our show for a very long time. We need you. So please answer my emails. Thank you. Love, Jonna, Carol, and Frankenberry. Well, we're getting creative. We have no choice.
That was kind of your, in a nice way, your Dear John's letter. Very, very well done.
Good point.
So that's 2 out of 3 had really good points today.
Oh, you're killing me. Maybe I don't have any good points because I'm famished and malnourished because it's been 2 days with no restaurants in my life.
I'm serious, Jonna. I'm driving by your place on my way home. Manwich is in the car.
Give me another week, Frankenberry, until I succumb to the manwich.
That's right. When you start eating your own skin. Frankenberry, I need that manwich.
All right. Hurry up. When are you going to get here?
I've only got 8 fingers left. Come on.
Is that a sponge or a blueberry bar? I'm not sure.
All right. This has been Happy Hour with Jonna Spillboard and Carol Pesci and myself. For everybody out there, please stay safe. Try to keep your head down if you can, and we will get through this.
And one, I'm going to give a shout out to Mama Chewy. She's got the shingles. She's pretty uncomfortable. Could be worse, so give a shout out. Feel better.
I love you, Mama Chewy.
Feel better, Mama Chewy.
All right, this is Happy Hour. We'll be back again next Sunday, as we always are. 7 o'clock in the morning is when you can catch us here on K104, and we will talk to you then. Take care.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillboer and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.